Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Voices for Change 2.0 on this very, very warm Saturday morning.
Yes, thank you for being with us today. It's a warm one here in beautiful downtown Detroit. I don't know if it is where you're at, but if it is, two really important things, try and stay cool, and that's number one. And number two, stay hydrated. That's really, really important. You know, it's real easy, especially when you got, like here, a heat index of 105 to get sick if you don't stay hydrated. So drink that water.
Yes, absolutely.
So it is June 30th. So that means that for us in America, we're going into this week is July 4th, Independence Day. That's right. My dear. And so happy Independence Day to all of our American listeners and for everybody else in the world.
Happy regular day.
Have a convivial Wednesday in July. So, so there's that. So we put that out. So yay, independence.
Absolutely. And just to get a couple of things out of the way as far as our show goes, if you are on the Blog Talk page, underneath the scrolling box of photos, there is a chat room that you can join, and our producer does monitor that and let us know when people come in and what they're saying, and you know we can respond, and so we're pretty good about that. And then if you do have any questions for us or for the current guest, you want to call in at 347-989-0126. Are you happy? I said zero.
I am happy. I'm ecstatic that you said zero.
The other thing I'd like to mention, too, is that we are currently looking for sponsors for our show. And it ends up being a pretty good deal from my perspective. For a nominal fee, you can get your show or your book or foundation or any and anything advertised on our show. And we do a show every Saturday morning, and that doesn't even count the number of replays and people who come back and listen afterwards. So
that's right.
It's definitely, I think, a smart investment. So
yep, you pay a fee once a month, and your message without fail gets out every week. So you know our listeners are hearing what you've got going on, and you know. It's a good thing.
Absolutely. Know. So just you know where to contact us if you want more information about it. But I especially am a little bit more apt to answer messages and whatnot than Joe is. He just doesn't have as much time as I do. So if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at Becca Lombardo, BekaLombardo.
Okay, over there.
Yeah. A little bit of a stutter.
Yeah, sorry.
But that being said, let's talk a little bit about the wonderful new guest we have with us today.
Yes.
We're honored to have with us from across the pond a prolific writer and a mental health advocate. She's a young lady who blogs, writes poetry, and has written two ebooks. She has guest posted over 60 times for various sites. And if I'm not mistaken, she guest posted for mine as well.
Yep.
So please welcome to the show Miss Charlotte Underwood.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey Charlotte, how you doing?
Hello. Yep. I'm Gucci.
Oh, pretty good. I feel like when we introduce people, we need to have like a audience response of some kind, like
That's okay. That would turn us into wacky morning DJs.
Yeah, I know how you feel about that. It just, there should be clapping. I don't know. Hi. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have any questions for us before we dig in?
Definitely not. I'm just excited to start chatting.
Yay.
Well, we will start off with the question that we ask all, become a standard for us. We ask pretty much all of our guests, and that's where does your mental health journey begin?
I think my mental health journey never began. It always happened. It was always there. But certainly since my father passed away, it's turned into a positive light, and I've really, really come fighting for my mental health and well-being.
Okay. What exactly do you battle? What's your diagnosis? What are you dealing with?
I was diagnosed with general anxiety and high functioning depression. But they're also investigating borderline personality disorder at the moment, which is a new possibility.
Okay.
Well, that would definitely give you some answers and you know, show a better way for treating whatever you've got going on, if they could, you know, narrow it down to something specific like that. I know I'm bipolar and borderline as well. And once my new doctor kind of determined that, she was able to focus her energies on those two things, and she's doing a great job of, you know, I still have my bad days. I'm always going to, I think. But, you know, she's doing a good job of listening to me and listening to what I have going on, and is really helping me figure out, you know, the best course with medication and everything. So I think once you get a diagnosis, it's kind of liberating. It's kind of a bummer, I know, but it's kind of liberating as well, because it helps you to finally say, oh, okay, this is what's wrong. Now what do we do to treat it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, I mean, it's frustrating because, you know, when you don't know what's going on, you're like, well, God, I'm going through all this. How do I fix it? You know, and then once you're finally told, you're like, well, all right, you know, let's see, you know, we've got a plan going. So that's good. When did you decide to come forward about your story, Charlotte?
I spent a lot of time battling it when I was a teenager, certainly, because I think it's a lot harder when you're that age and you're confused and you've got so many things going on. But I think maybe it was 6 months after my father's death when I noticed how ill I'd got, and I started coming out anonymously online, and then fully online, and then to my friends. So it was a long process. I didn't sort of just jump out there. I sort of eased into it.
Okay. And that's probably, you know, for the best that you did it that way, you know. How do I want to put this? You know, you're almost kind of unsure at first, but then, you know, and you want to see what kind of response that you're going to get. But as you put yourself out there more, you get more, I don't know if comfortable is the right word.
Yeah, I'd say that.
You know, but it sounds like you handled it the right way. You know, that's the thing is, you know, you have to protect yourself as well. You know, for one thing that we've seen over the years is, especially on Twitter, there is an awesome mental health community, but there's also trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think the trolling is as bad as it once was. At least that's not what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm just insulated from it.
I have often wondered if it's actually gotten better, or if it's just that I've blocked everybody and anybody that could possibly bother me. But I think it's definitely improved.
Yeah, you know. So, but yeah, I think you handled it the right way. You know, doing it anonymously and then, you know, slowly coming to, you know, everybody.
Bringing it to the forefront.
Yeah, bringing it to the forefront.
So your father's suicide must have had a devastating impact on your life. Do you think losing him helped you find a greater purpose?
After a long time, it did. Initially, I was so disassociated from the shock that induced. So I didn't really feel human for 4 years. And it wasn't until the beginning of this year, which I really, really found purpose, and it's finding a positive even in the worst thing possible, and that's how I like to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good outlook to have, you know. Trying to find, you know, it's a devastating thing losing a parent, you know. Regardless of how they go, just in general, losing a parent is a devastating thing. Nothing prepares you for it. I've been through it. Rebecca's definitely been through it. And how do I want to put it? I keep losing my...
Your train of thought?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit of a... slow morning for us. We kind of took us a little while to get up and get moving, and you know, we had got up at the crack of dawn and then tried to fall back to sleep. So
yeah,
we're a little bit tongue-tied and exhausted, but we're gonna keep going. It's okay, babe. We'll figure it out.
That was true.
But you know, but that's good that you were able to take what you went through, you know, with losing your dad.
Make it into a positive.
Yeah, exactly. Make it into a positive mm-hmm. thing.
Which is something I haven't been able to do personally yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I just lost my father last year and my mother in 2008. And it's hard when you suddenly wake up one morning and you're like, huh, I'm an orphan.
Yeah.
You know? It's such a strange feeling, and it's very, very lonely, and you're just kind of like, what do I do now? So, you know, to be able to turn it around and make it something bigger than just your grief and you know, your pain is an amazing thing, you know, because I haven't gotten to that point yet. I still... in the grieving stage, and you know, I'm okay with that. I don't think that anybody should determine how long it takes a person to get over a loss like that. If you do it on your own time, and nobody has the right to question that.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly. So, Charlotte.
Yeah.
You've written. You've written a couple of books. What can you tell us about The House on the Avenue?
That's more of a creative short story that I wrote, which doesn't come across as mental health to start, but the backstory of it is genuinely based on hallucinations and things that I used to deal with, because I have hypervigilance, is the term the psychiatrist calls it. So it means that I tend to be overly sensitive to sound and light, and I can make scarily realistic things in like shadows and patterns. So that mm-hmm. book. Based on that and what I went through.
Hmm. And you wrote another book as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
That was After Suicide. That was my first one. And it is genuinely just my father's story of suicide, I suppose, from the months leading up to the event to the time going missing and the years that have passed since. And that was just written because I found that there was no help and not much support, or at least free support, for people that were bereaved by suicide. And it's a very lonely feeling to lose someone by suicide, because it's very hard to know someone in your immediate circle that can relate. So I wanted that out there, so people had someone that understood them and could relate to them, and sort of a bit like a friend that they could have. And
what type of impression did your friends and family give you? Did they give you positive feedback, or did you have kind of a negative experience?
No, I mean, I was terrified because I thought people would take it the wrong way. But I think we all understood my father. And my father actually did a lot of work, and he prevented suicide, many suicides, and he did counselling. He was very, a bit of a hero in my eyes, I suppose, in terms of mental health and saving lives. So it's something we know he would have accepted. And honestly, I've only had good and positive feedback, which is so lovely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, absolutely.
Because my book is actually sort of similar to that, except that it's my story told by me, so it's leading up to my attempt and the days afterwards. And, you know, I've gotten some pretty good feedback, some pretty good reviews, but there have been a couple of bad ones that, you know, stuck with me for a lot longer than I should have allowed them to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a lot of people under, you know, the ones that gave you negative feedback, it was, I don't think they got where you were coming from.
Yeah. And it's just hard when it's your own story and you put it out there and then you've got somebody saying, you know, negative things about it. It's like, no, that it really happened. That was my life.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
It's very taboo to talk about suicide, and I think that's still a big problem.
Yeah, it's, well, there's a big stigma with it, you know, and people don't understand. You know, one of the things, one of the things that really upset me when Beck went through her experience were, you know, the people that didn't try to understand where her head was or what she was going through. They lashed out and they called her various things, you know, selfish and coward and all that. And, you know, and these were friends, people we cared about, people that we had, you know, had over for meals and
20-year-long friendships.
Right. And, you know, to all of a sudden act that way, you know, instead of trying to say, well, you know, what could have gotten you to such a point that you didn't see any way out, you know?
What can I do to help?
Right, you know, trying to understand, you know, and so I appreciate and I'm happy that, you know, you wrote your book and, you know, are trying to bring this perspective to people, you know, because there is, you know, once somebody goes through a situation like that, you're kind of like, well, now what? You know, and you know, you feel lost, and you feel a whole myriad of different emotions, you know. So having a resource like that for people, bravo.
Yeah, it's very important.
Good on you.
So when did you realize that you were becoming an advocate for mental health?
I don't really know, because it wasn't something I ever intended. It is something that just happened, and I was like, you know, I actually really enjoy this, and this has given me more purpose than I've ever felt before. And I've always been someone who's never been sure of anything in my life. I'm very live day to day and don't think too much about the future because I get so unpredictable with how I react. This is the one thing, and I was like, definitely, this is what I want to do. And I don't know, I just think one day I just like looked at Twitter and I was like, at the responses, and I was like, oh, I suppose, because people start calling me an advocate before I consider myself as that.
Yeah, you're kind of like, I'm what?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely sort of fell into it too, and it's a big responsibility, but it's very rewarding.
Definitely.
Yeah.
To be able to help people on that level.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's awesome that you kind of recognized, you know, in yourself, you know, having like you said, you know, you kind of live day to day, you know, you're not sitting there making plan after plan after plan, you know, because that's a good way to kind of build yourself up for disappointment too. You know, I do that, Beck does that, where, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then, you know, life conspires against you,
yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden, this thing you were really excited about just falls through.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of good that you can be present in the moment for that, but finding that purpose of, you know, realizing that what you're saying and what you're doing is being a benefit to others, it's a really rewarding feeling.
Really quickly, we just, we're actually at our first break, but we wanted to say that we did have someone call in, but the call dropped out. So whoever you are, give us a call back. We're still here, and we're ready to take your calls. And with that, we're going on our first break. So here is Jay Knight, I Love How You Love Me. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. This is Rebecca. She's sitting next to me looking cute. That's what she does. That ended abruptly, didn't it?
It did. It certainly did.
Kind of caught me off guard.
That was the first for us with that song, I think.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, we are currently talking with the lovely and talented Charlotte Underwood, calling us all the way over from the UK. And hiya.
And we have a guest caller on the line. So let's bring in Melody from Wisconsin.
Yes, hello. first of all, I have to say that Rebecca and Charlotte, you are both amazing, and particularly in being authors, I thank you for being able to do that, because that's, writing my story is something I have not been able to do. And I had a question, just kind of for everybody. So recently I've had losses both for natural causes and by suicide, and I was just kind of wondering, for me, my response has been different, because to the suicide, there's just sort of this added element of the what could I have done, and also the kind of challenging some of my core beliefs, like that were really I was using for my own survival, you know, like nobody's given more than they can handle, things like that, and I just was wondering if any of you have experienced that.
You mean the being given more than you can handle kind of thing?
Just in general, just the difference of losing someone to suicide and my emotional response to it.
Well, it's hard for us to speak to, because we haven't personally lost someone to suicide. My brother passed a few years ago, and there were some sketchy circumstances behind his death, and it could have been a suicide, but that was never determined. It's kind of always been in my mind that it was.
I believe to him or
find out what happened.
That must be really hard. I believe your guest said that she lost her father to suicide. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So this was more for her, I guess. Well, for everybody, but.
Yeah. I think suicide is really difficult, because you never get to say goodbye. You never can prepare for it. And it's quite unlike other illnesses, because you not only are dealing with a loss, but you're dealing with shock, and you're dealing with all these what-ifs and buts, and you start to doubt yourself and even the person that's passed. But one thing I realized is, if I had stopped my dad then, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't have done again in the future, because we need to remember that mental health is a real, real illness. And I know me and Rebecca have been in that suicidal situation, and so I can't say what my dad was thinking, but I do know that he was in such huge pain that he was no longer completely thinking outside of his illness, and it consumed him. So what I see with my father is the version of my dad that passed away, that was a shell, and my father actually passed months before when he first started getting very ill, a bit like dementia. But that's just my situation. You need to remember that everyone's situation is so, so individual, that you cannot blame yourself. You can't, you'll never know the questions, but at the end of the day, you need to focus more about memories and the good things. And like with any death, they're not in pain and they're at peace, and they do not hate you, and you did not make a mistake, and they're still probably there with you. And you need to remember that, because that's very important, and take your time to move on, and don't let anyone tell you how or how to or what to do or try and control any part of your grief, because that's all individual.
Thank you for calling in. So, yeah, you know, that's the thing is, you know, somebody that is contemplating suicide or goes through with it, you know, we can never really understand the depths of the pain that they're in, you know. So, you know, you try and help out where you can, and, you know, you put yourself out there, you know, as much as possible. It's just hard, you know, and it's heartbreaking. You know, I know when Beck's having a tough day, I'll say to her, hey, is there anything that I can do? You know, and I try and communicate to her, you know, but, you know, sometimes there are situations where, you know, you do what you can and it's still devastating. You know, I think back to last year and Chester Bennington when, you know, when he took his life, you know, from Linkin Park. There's video of him at a party, smiling, laughing, having a good time. excuse me. And then, you know, like a day or two later, he was gone, you know, and it's hard. It's an insidious thing to go through, and it's painful, you know, and it's painful for the person, you know, and so just having some compassion for those that are going through things is important, you know.
Everybody's going through something that we may not be able to see, and it's so important to try to keep that in mind, to just be nice. And stop all this garbage with hiding behind your keyboard and cussing people out because they don't believe the same thing that you do. I'm just so fed up with that whole thing.
Yeah.
But I digress. That's a whole other thing. So, Charlotte, talk to us about your blog and what kind of articles people can expect to find.
My blog is purely lived experiences because I feel that the only way we can help people is by just being honest and telling our stories, because a textbook can only tell you so much, but our minds are so beautiful and complex that mental illness is so, so different in each person. So I write personally about the things that I've experienced in regard to mental health, and I try to be very blunt, and sometimes there can be triggering content, but I always mark those. But I try to end it with a lot of hope and support, and if there's a topic that I can't cover because I've not gone through it, then I occasionally get guest blogs from people that do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good that you're, you know, have enough foresight to realize if you've written something that could be potentially triggering, and giving that warning to your readers. And my God, you are prolific. Yeah, you know, looking at your website again yesterday, just seeing how much stuff you've written and where it's posted and everything.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's you know.
I'm jealous.
You know, it's definitely something to be proud of. You know. You're doing a great job with it, you know, and good on you.
Thanks.
My favorite thing to say.
And you also write poetry as well. What fuels you to keep writing?
I mean, with poetry, I'm still new to that scene, but I feel like poetry and mental health is a love story, genuinely. I have tried doing short stories on mental health. I've tried writing a full-blown book, books on mental health, but poetry is the only way that really expresses it, because you don't have to stick to the rules. You can bend it and shape it into really expressing your feelings. And so I just, that's what helps me, because it's not only creating something beautiful, it also extracts those feelings from your head, and it's less scary when you can see it in front of you as well.
That's very true.
Yeah, you know, and they say, you know, a lot of various art, you know, poetry, music, movies, you name it, the really, really good stuff is coming from people that do deal with some kind of affliction.
I believe that people that have mental illnesses are also some of the most brilliant people in the world, and most
indeed.
Creative, for sure.
Indeed. You know, some of the best art that you know, you can read, you can see, you can hear, is from people that are just, you know, tortured, you know. That's sometimes the only way to get their pain out of their system, you know, and you can really hear it and it resonates with you. So that said, oh, and I really quick, I want to say to, because I don't think we got to articulate it. Thank you, Melody, for calling in to the show. We do appreciate it. And if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 347-989-0126.
Yeah, give us a call.
Yeah. So, Charlotte.
Still with us?
Okay.
Still with us. Distracted by my little dog.
What advice do you have for someone who wants to start blogging but doesn't know where to begin?
Well, you just need to write. It's as simple as that. You don't need to be a genius. You don't need to be good at spelling grammar. You can ease into it by just jotting words, jotting feelings, doodling. You could open a blog and make it private if you're not ready. Things like that. Just, I think with blogging, you just jump into it and write. And there's so many options now that if you need time, then you can just keep it private or keep it anonymous.
Right. Your dog seems to have a different opinion.
Yeah. She's just eaten, so she's got a burst of energy.
What kind of dog is it?
A Pomeranian, so a lot of attitude.
Aw, he's a little baby.
Very cute.
Yeah,
he's a very
little
baby.
We are absolutely animal lovers. Mind you, none of our cats are in the room right now, but there have been experiences in the past where...
They're trying to get out on the radio, too.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be meowing or you know, in the case of Abby... Yeah, you know, crawling on top of stuff and knocking things over, and you know, we're frantically crumbling up paper and throwing it at her to get her to knock it off.
Throwing empty water bottles across the room.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that kind of caught us off guard though with the little growl.
Yeah, that was funny. So how do you feel about the stigma that currently surrounds mental illness? And what do you think we should be doing going forward?
The stigma is very outdated, and we need to remember that. And the only way we can really end it is if we just keep talking. Because at the end of the day, all of us could end war, we could end bullying, racism, homophobia, and all of that if we just said no. I'm not going to be part of that. And it's the same with stigma. We need to stop reinforcing those kind of things. And obviously, it's like our parents always taught us, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. And especially with mental health, a little comment can do so much more harm than you could even imagine. So I think getting your feelings out there and your story encourages others to do so, and just not judging others or making nasty comments, that will hopefully eliminate the stigma in the end.
for sure.
Yeah,
and I really advise to anyone out there, if you haven't developed a thick skin yet for nasty comments and negative feedback, that the best thing to do is just stop reading the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, you're gonna feel so much better. And I've said this to a few different people, but there's a meme that I found that is something along the lines of, you don't have to react to everything that you notice. And I think that's really great advice. As soon as I got that through my head, then everything changed for me. Everything was more positive.
Yeah, there was a similar one that I saw that I was going to actually mention. It's something like, you don't have to attend every fight that you're invited to.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Same thing. Yeah.
And that's brilliant. And, you know, I absolutely agree with you too, Charlotte, about, you know, overcoming, you know, homophobia and, you know, race issues and, you know, all these different, situations. You know, there's no rational reason why we can't all get along, you know, and you know, embrace each other's differences.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a quote that I absolutely love, that I don't know how I came into it, but it's essentially that a person's judgment says more about them than it does about you, and I think that applies to all of that we've just said.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely. You know, we're all coming up with good sayings today. There was one, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Mark Twain might have said it, but I could be wrong. It was something about, you know, keeping your mouth shut, people are going to wonder whether or not you know anything, but if you open your mouth, you eliminate all doubt. You know,
yeah.
It was something like that. I can't remember exactly how it was worded now, and it bums me out because I really, really like it. But, you know, it makes complete sense,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I do. I think we need to embrace each other's differences and be there for each other and be compassionate and, you know, educate the people that don't understand. You know, that's education's a big thing too.
And
it's
like I've said before, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for ignorance about mental illness anymore, because anything that's going on, you have the whole internet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there's times when you're going to get misinformed about things, which, you know, I totally understand, but at least you could get a basic understanding of what someone is dealing with just by Googling it, you know, and maybe that'll help you understand that it's not something to be afraid of, and that, you know, people like that need help. And I just hope that we get to that point someday soon.
It's hard when people bring their own biases into things and they don't want to understand or change, you know, and there's only so much that we can do, you know. Charlotte?
Yes.
So
we're going to go back to our questions now.
Yeah. We've mentioned, I specifically said you are very prolific with your writing, and you are. It blows me away. But do you ever struggle with writer's block? And, you know, if you do, how do you handle it? What do you do in that case?
I think with me, it's more of, I have too much jumble in my head and I can't factor into sentences or localize it to one blog post. So it's like just big jumble in my mind. And 'cause it's always racing, and that's obviously part of anxiety. But it definitely prevents me from writing. And I mean, I've actually taken a week off writing because I've needed that for my mental health. But I think for me, just writing a small paragraph a day, or just writing out whatever you can think of in your head and just putting it on paper, and it will form eventually. I've always found that if you're writing and you just think, oh, that's a really bad piece of writing and you don't like it, if you just save it, minimize it, and then come back to it later, you can guarantee that you can build it and make it even better with a fresh mind. Just don't give up on it. If it's something you care about, it will come out.
That's great advice. Yeah. You know, I completely understand that just from a music writing standpoint. Back when I was active, you know, with playing in bands and writing music, you know, you'd come up with this great thing, you know, a riff or whatever, but you're kind of stuck where to go, so you kind of put it on the back burner, and then you come back to it in a week or two, and all of a sudden the idea explodes, and before you know it, you have a song. Being able to do that with your writing is definitely, you know, that's
we'll have to give it a try.
Yeah.
I'm on a several month long writer's block right now.
Yeah, you know, especially if you have something kind of just swimming around in your head, you know, even if it's just a word, you write it down, and then, you know, you've got it, and, you know, you come back to it later. I've got in my phone, you got the little memo thing you can put stuff in your phone. Mm-hmm. I've got a page in there where it's all, you know, I'll think of, you know, something that might be a cool song title or something like that, and I'll come up with it and I'll put it in there, and then I know I've got it, and I can always go back and revisit it later.
Yeah, may come to me when it's late at night, and I don't want to get up and turn on the computer and everything, so I just text it to myself.
Yeah.
So
same.
Yep. So, let's see, where are we at with our questions? So let's tell everyone how they can read your work and get in touch with you on social media.
The best way to get to my blog is just charlotteunderwoodauthor.com. There is a contact page on there, and that will go through to my emails. Or you can get to me through my Twitter, which is at CUnderwoodUK. And I have my DMs open for everyone in case they need to talk or if they're having a bad time. I try to keep myself open to be supportive, I suppose. So I'm pretty easy to contact.
That's good. You know, it's awesome that you put yourself out there like that. You know, having that availability is it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good thing. You know, it makes our community more of a community.
Having open DMs can kind of be an adventure. I've found.
Yes, they can.
Found the same thing, but yeah, that's it gets a little bit tricky here and there, but I've got mine open too, so I know where you're coming from. So what is next for you? What's next on the agenda?
I think at the moment I'm taking some time to just take a step back, focus on freelancing, continue my blogging, and I'm hoping next September I'm going to study psychology at degree level. So, and from there,
oh, wow.
Hopefully I do more for mental health. And that's the goal, hopefully.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that you're 22.
Yeah.
You know, cause you're,
I do
cause
too.
You're mature beyond your years for sure. And, you know, I look at back and I, you know, think about you and the work you're doing, and all I can think is, my God, we could be her parents. You know?
Could we though?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Yeah, we could.
That's really, really not cool.
So, my advice to you is enjoy your 20s, because blink and they're over.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
30s are even quicker.
Yeah.
I still think I'm 14. So,
I got news for you. Up until I think earlier this year, I still had the mentality of a 15-year-old. So, and I'm 44.
Gotta take some time.
You know, I finally don't feel that way so much anymore, but yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
You know. But
yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's
and on that note.
Yeah.
It looks like we are all out of time for today. It's been really great talking to you today, Charlotte. You definitely bring a lot to the table, and I admire your advocacy work and all the writing that you're doing. I think it's it's great, and you know, you're doing some amazing things. So
yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
for
keep
sure
up the good work,
because you're doing an awesome job. Yeah, you know, and you know, good luck with going to school this fall.
Absolutely.
You know, that's exciting. My God, you have your whole life ahead of you yet.
Yeah, that's awesome. So.
Yeah.
If anything comes up, or you know, something really big happens, you write another book, or you know, you're really excited about something, just give me a shout out, and we'll get you back on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
We would love to have you back anytime. You know, definitely want to promote anything new that you have going on, and you know, keep up the awesome work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank
so
you.
Stay on the
you
line.
Too.
Stay on the line. We're going to close out with a song in honor of the 4th of July.
Yeah, and by the way, sorry about that whole independence thing. You know, with you being British and us being American and all.
It's okay, honey. So anyway, a song in honor of the 4th of July, John Williams, God Bless the USA.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, well at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, well, at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the ones who died, defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.